is uncomfortable in this group of maybe productions. Someone appropriate cannot say thank you and express Hakaras Hatov on all of our behalf for making the effort and the time for creating space to be able to come share with us tonight. It means a lot to all of us, the Frat and the Cloud. We're so thankful, we're so appreciative.
This Beis Medrash, place is filled with people who I love, many of whom I know, and I know how much I love them, and others that I don't know, but I love you also. Anybody who's here, who's part of this, of Judah, of Willig, of Dovril, of Benji, all the rebellion, all the Chevra, I want to talk to you about laughing and about crying. Let me begin with a story. There was a big tzaddik, Rabbi Socha Ber from Radish's Schus Yigalayna. And one time, it was Shabbos, it was getting dark. And usually the Rebbe would be with the Hasidim. At that time of Shalosh Udas, they would be together. But this time the Rebbe was by himself. And the only person who was allowed to be with him was his nephew. So the Rebbe and his nephew were in a room on the side of the Beis Medrash, the Rebbe's room. And it was getting dark, and the Chassidim were having shalosh shulis, but they were all very, very jealous of their friend, the Rebbe's nephew. And they all wanted to know what's happening. So, Chassidim in general are not known to have much respect for privacy. And they were trying to listen with the ears to the wall to hear. And they heard a very, very strange thing. They heard the sound of the Rebbe and his nephew, they heard them laughing. They heard them laughing, and it sounded like even there was a little bit of a rikud coming from the next room. And of course, the chassidim, they didn't know what this was about, but they all were so happy to hear the Rebbe laughing. And then, a moment later, it was quiet, and the chassidim were listening, and they heard the Rebbe crying. And his nephew, they were crying and sobbing. So you can imagine how after Shabbos, the chassidim attacked the Rebbe's nephew to find out what happened, what was going on. So the nephew said this. He said, when I came to the room with the Rebbe, I didn't know why I was there and I didn't know what he wanted to teach me or show me. But after a few minutes, he motioned to me to come stand next to him. He was looking out of the window. And I went next to him. And when I looked out of the window, I didn't see the church. I didn't see the cows and the peasants. He says, Chevra, I'm telling you the truth. I looked out of the window and I saw Yerushalayim. I promise you, I saw Yerushalayim. But not just Yerushalayim. I saw Yerushalayim the way Yerushalayim is going to be when Mashiach comes. I can't describe what I saw. And when you heard the laughing and you heard the rikud, it's because we saw Yerushalayim the way it's going to be. But then, a moment later, my uncle's face became very, very dark. He told me to turn around, and I turned around for a minute. And then he brought me again next to him by the window. And that's when you heard us crying. Because the Rebbe showed me how much we're going to have to suffer until we get to that day. And I can't tell you what I saw. He said, I saw what Radishitz is going to be. I saw what all of Poland is going to be. So I want to talk to you about laughing and crying. I think you probably know what that means over here. I think that in this place there's a tremendous amount of laughter. First of all, some of the funniest people that I know in the world are here. I don't know if you know that. Some very funny people are here. And there's a lot of laughter. You're giving life. You're giving life to children who otherwise don't always feel that they want to live. If you listen carefully, you could hear not just the Rebbe from Radishitz laughing, you could hear Hashem Yisbarach himself laughing. There's a lot of laughter in this place. But there's also crying. There's also crying. There's also big rachmanis. So that's what I want to talk to you about. For the first few minutes, I'm going to go the other way. Because I want to end with laughter, not with crying. So, forgive me, for a few minutes we'll talk about the crying. So Yesh Chodesh Menachem Av, the light of Aaron HaKohen, the light of the Tzaddikim, of the Baba Rebbe, Zechus Yigaleinu. Some of you know that in Sefer Ezra, in Ezra Nechemiah, in the third parak, there's a very, very strange description of what took place by the Chanukah's Habayis, by the inauguration of the second Beis HaMikdash. The Jews who were there and the Jews who came back from Bavel. Now, you know, 70 years have passed since the Churban, 70 years. And the Navi describes how there were thousands of young people who never saw the first Beis HaMikdash. And how these young people were singing and screaming the way we will when Mashiach comes. The Imam is yelling and screaming and cheering and singing the second Beis HaMikdash. Umi'idach, on the other hand, says in Pasuk Rabbi Me'akahanim Valeviim Ve'Oishe Ha'aviz Haskein. And there were the Kahanim and Leviim and some old Jews, Zikeinim. Asherovas Abayis Harishim. They were old Jews who were survivors of the first Churban. And these were old Jews who had seen, as children, as young people, they had seen the first Beis HaMikdash. Asheru v'sabayis harish, they saw the first Beis HaMikdash. Boichim b'kol gadol. And they, when they heard all of the young people cheering and singing, the old survivors began to cry. It reminds you a little bit with Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, right? At the end of the Gemara, and Makis, the end, Chachamim are crying, Rabbi Akiva is laughing. And it says in the Pasuk, Ve'ein ha'am makirim kol truas asimcha l'kol b'chi ha'am, that the wailing and the screaming and the crying was so loud that it drowned out the laughter and the singing of the young people. Now you know, the second Beis HaMikdash was spectacular. The second Beis HaMikdash was so beautiful. In many ways it was more beautiful than the first Beis HaMikdash. And Davke, at that moment, where finally the 70 miserable years had ended, and the new beautiful Beis HaMikdash was here, was open for business. At that moment, there was such a hisoros, an awakening of memories, an unleashing of emotion. Because the Zakenim remembered what was. During those long years of Gullus, they tried not to think. And they, in some way, they deleted that memory of what was. Because by the first Beis HaMikdash Chevra, there was Hashros HaShchina in a clear way. By the first Beis HaMikdash, the Aron was in its place with the Luchas, and the Shivrei Luchas. And there was Urim V'Tumim. And prophecy Nevuah was pulsating. Eretz Yisrael was swarming with Nevi'im, with prophets. People who spoke to the Bar Yehuda and heard. We all speak to him. They heard from the Creator of the world. So the young people, of course, they didn't know such a thing. You know, you hear stories, but they never saw them. The old people at this moment of the new Beis HaMikdash, those memories were jarred, were brought back from a place where they were put to sleep because they were too painful. Now, I've been with people who have suddenly remembered. I don't know if any of you have ever had such an experience. I've been with people who forgot their experiences in the Holocaust and suddenly, when they were older, remembered. I've been with people who were abused as children and remembered when they were older. And the awakening is beyond description. So the young people, try to picture this, listen. The young people, everybody is like in the middle of like cheering and waving in their second Beis HaMikdash flags, whatever they had, and everybody's all excited, and there's all kinds of fireworks going on, and it's mamish, a big celebration. And then slowly the crying begins. and the old men and the old women are crying. And it builds, and it's stronger and stronger. To the point where the Navi says such a thing, Ve'ein ha'am makirim kol truas ha'simcha l'chol b'chi ha'am, that the crying and the remembering was so strong that it completely drowned out the laughter and the singing. You could imagine how the young people didn't understand. The young people said, come on, isn't this the day we've all been waiting for? This is the day we've all been waiting for. This is the greatest simcha. This is heaven coming down to earth, and earth ascending to heaven. Is there something wrong with the new Beis HaMikdash? The central air conditioning is not working. It's not beautiful. Is there a problem? So there was this very strange picture of Heim Mitzachakim Veheim Boichim. Tears of laughter and tears of pain, of misery. So I've often thought about that description. It has a lot to do with the way that I was raised and how I grew up. So what about now? It's Erev Tisha B'Av. We have no musig at all. We have to be honest, and we have to go into a real place. We have no musig at all for all the inyan of the Beis HaMikdash. It's very, very far from us. That's why now, on Tisha B'Av, you have to have all kinds of speeches and all kinds of special events and sad movies and all kinds of things to try at the somehow to get me to be a little serious. We have no idea of what the Beis HaMikdash was. We have no idea of what it was to be in Yerushalayim, what it was like back then in Yerushalayim, what Eretz Yisrael was like. For us, Bamas, there's a Mamila Mall, right? Sometimes you have to wait online to get into the popular restaurant there. What's it called again? Huh? You each have your favorite one. I don't remember the name. Maybe there's a Milchik and a Fleishis. A Rimon, Cafe Rimon. So sometimes you have to wait a little bit. But even though you have to wait, it can't get better than this. You have Mamila Mall. Your parents own an apartment. If you're from the fortunate ones, your parents own an apartment in Rehavia. Your credit card is up to date. You have your favorite spots in Gula, Meir Sharon. You have your friends, seminary and yeshiva. You take selfies, you take pictures of others standing overlooking at the Harabayas. You're at home in the Rova. You walk around, everybody knows you. You know every stone in the Rova. On this one I had ice cream, on this one I had falafel. So listen, this time of the year, the Navi Yirmiyah who himself was a person who was always crying and laughing, because according to the Yisrael, Yemi Anovi had the neshama of Shlomo HaMelech. Ani HaGever. He himself saw the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Oversaw the building of the Beis HaMikdash. He came back in the body of Yemi Anovi. But Shlomo HaMelech means Shlemus and Shalom. Yirmiyah means bitterness and tears. But Shlomo is all about laughing. Yirmiyah is all about crying. And this time of the year, the Navi Yirmiyah takes us to the window. All of us young people who are filled with the laughter of Yerushalayim, a little taste of Yerushalayim of what will be, a little bit. And he takes us to the window. And he shows us something very, very shocking. Because we all want to know. Is Hashem Yisbarach crying or is he laughing? Everything in our lives is about trying to align ourselves with the one who created us. Mahu afata. Everything is about trying to feel what he's feeling. So is Hashem Yisbarach laughing or crying? So the Navi Yirmiyah shows us, B'mistarim tifke nafshi. It says in Pasuk, B'mistarim tifke nafshi. Hashem Yisbarach says, my soul is crying in a hidden place. B'mistarim tifke nafshi. It's the Gemara in Chagiga Daf Hei, which I'm sure you all have heard. The Gemara says, "Smokim yesh lo lakadosh baruch hu, umistorim shema." Hashem has a hiding place. We all have hiding places where we can be ourselves. Hashem has a hiding place, and that hiding place is called mistorim. The place of hiding, of concealment, of mystery. And B'Shom Boichen, Hashem is crying in that place. B'Mistarim Tivke Nafshi. So the Gemara asks, U'mi'ika B'chiya Kamakut Shebrichu. That's not the God that we pictured. The God that we pictured is one who's always laughing. It says in Pasuk, Oiz V'chedva B'mkaimai. With Hashem, there's always laughter. Ois v'ched v'bim kaimai. Tears, sadness. We know that the Baruch Shalom is a chassid. And we know that apichsidus, sadness is a major cardinal sin. So the Gemara asks, "Umiyka b'chiyah kama kutshabrichim?" Is crying by Hashem? Ois v'ched v'bim kaimai. Loikash. Now here we have Rashi's Gerson, Rabbeinu Chananel. But we'll go with the way of most Rishonim. Loikash. Hobabate gavoi, hobabate baroi. The Gemara's answer is, according to most Rishonim, the description of Hashem laughing, ois v'chedva b'mkaimai, Hashem happy and laughing like the young people, cheering, Yerushalayim, Mashiach, all of that is bate baroi, the Gemara says. All of that is bate baroi, which means what? On the outside. But in the bate gavoi, but in that hidden place that Hashem has, that's called Mistarim, in the Bate Gavoi, inside, hidden, the Mistarim Tivke Nafshi. Hashem Yisbarach is crying. So Hashem Yisbarach himself is laughing and crying. On the outside, Bate Baroi, Bar is outside like a Breiser, Bar is outside Michutz. On the outside, Hashem is Baruch is laughing. And on the inside, when Mistar and Tivka Nafshi, Hashem Baruch has crawled into his space, and he's crying. So if you want to know why is it that we're laughing and crying, that there could be such a thing as Rabbi Kiva's Mitzachek V'Hem Boichim, that the old people are crying, the young people are laughing, is because there's a Midel Yoina that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivyochel himself is laughing on the outside and is crying on the inside. What does that mean? Bate Baroi, that external perspective, or Hashem, how he shows himself on the outside, is the way that the young people saw reality, and it's natural and it's healthy for young people to see the world in that way. There's a metzias that's called, in the language of Chazal, Olam kiminhago noheg. And Olam kiminhago noheg means you expect to get up in the morning, and Baruch Hashem, you got up. Some people didn't get up this morning, and lo aleinu, there'll be some Jews that are not going to get up tomorrow morning. That's strange, that's odd. But Olam kiminhago noheg, it's the most natural thing for a person to expect things to just go the way that they are. And in that world that's called Olam kiminhago noheg, there are beautiful buildings in Yerushalayim. We have beautiful friends. We live in Jewish communities, and they're proud to say that in this shul there are 4 minyanim, and in this school there are 500 kids, and we have mikvahs, and we have Shomer Shabbos bakeries and groceries, and we have all of the Bate Baroi that our parents and grandparents, maybe some of the parents, but our grandparents, great-grandparents, my parents, certainly never imagined a Bate Baroi, never imagined a world as cheerful, as pleasant, as encouraging as the one that we live in. But then you have Zakenim, you have old people. You know, I just remember there's a, I don't know if any of this is music from before you were born, but there was an album many years ago. This is pre Chaim David and Eitan and Shlomo and pre Karduna. It's not pre Shlomo Kalibach. But at that time, there was a song that was sung on the Journeys album. And it's about a Holocaust survivor, and he has on his lap, he has his grandson on his lap, and the grandson doesn't understand. The second I hear this song or I sing it, I begin to cry. Again, I grew up this way. And the little boy doesn't understand why his, it's actually, it's not his grandfather, it's his, maybe it's his father, I don't know. And he doesn't understand why he looks so sad. And in the song, the old man says that there was once a child who smelled so sweet and felt as warm. And he was taken from before my eyes. And only I am left to mourn. What will become of all the memories? So there are old people who have memories. And those old people with memories, and then you don't have to be old in age, I'll get to that in a minute. But those people
who are not caught up in the Bate Baroi, but who remember the Bate Gavoi. There are Jews who live in a place that's called Mistarim, who live in the inner, deep inner life. And those Jews who are living, who are able to take a step out of the Bate Baroi, of the mall, of the Mamila mall, and of the Cafe Rimon, and of all of the fun, all the games, and all how everything looks so beautiful and is so great. Those Zikanim are able to enter into that place where Hashem is crying. Into the Bate Gavoi. You know, the Holy Rishnis Chusi Eleinu, on the outside, you know, he wore clothing like Mamash a king. And he went in a wagon that was inlaid with gold. And he had six white horses. And he wore golden slippers. You all heard of the Holy Rishnis. But you know that he was the most Sibrachan Amensh, that in those golden slippers there were stones and pieces of shattered glass. And those who saw him walking in the winter, and he always was hidden, but they would see footsteps of blood coming back from the frozen, from the mikveh. In the Bate Baroi, the Rishna was Malchus. On the outside, in the world that we see with our eyes, but the Rishna lived in a place that's called Mistarim. B'mistarim tivka nafshi, in that place he sits on a bench with Hashem, and he's holding Hashem, and Hashem is holding him, and they're crying. Now what does that mean? The laughter and the tears. What does that mean? So if you have a chance, and those there are morale here, there's a morale. If you look at Netzach Yisrael, this time of the year, a Jew lives with Netzach Yisrael. In the new version of Netzach Yisrael, my friend Rabbi Yeshua Hartman, the blue Netzach Yisrael, there are two parts. The first part is all about Golus and misery, is crying, and the second part is all about Yemos HaMashiach. That's how we divide them. So in Perek Tes, in Netzach Yisrael, the Maral explains that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we experience Hashem, listen carefully, Hashem is experienced Kfi mashu hamekaba. What does that mean? So you know, Chazal tells us that al hayom, that by Kfiyas Yamsuf, we saw Hashem as a giber ish milchama. We saw Hashem as a warrior that was fighting and destroying our enemies by Kfiyas Yamsuf. And by Har Sinai, we saw him as a zokein. Malerachimim is Malamed Torah, like an old Rebbe teaching Torah at Har Sinai when we receive the Torah. And the Maral says, "V'kasha mekabel shehin Yisrael yesh lehem churban." Listen, kasha mekabel. The world was created for Yisrael, and kasha mekabel shehin Yisrael yesh lehem churban. When a Jew is in a place of churban, when Am Yisrael is experiencing destruction, devastation, and despair. HaKadosh Baruch Hu niglev in nirulhem el makabel bibchia. Then Hashem is experienced and is felt in a way of crying with us. Ima anochi b'tzar. V'chol tzarosam leitzar. V'dovizeh. The Maral writes, Kibata Gavoi, and he's speaking about this Gemara and Chagiga that we're learning. And he says, V'dovazeh, Kibata Gavoi Heim Klapei HaNishama. In other words, you and I right now at this moment, we have Bate Baroi and we have Bate Gavoi. The Bate Gavoi is the guf, the encasement, and all that we experience in the guf, all kinds of stuff. That's called Bate Baroi. The neshama, the Maral says, is bata gavoy. The neshama is that part of us that lives in a place that's called mistar. That part of us that's nistar, that's hidden. Many, many people spend their entire lives never ever visiting the mistar. Maybe, God forbid, some terrible catastrophe happens. Chalila. Many people spend their entire lives floating around the Bate Baroi, and you could do that with the Tzitzis out too. And you could even have like fat pays and a long dress. You could do all of that. It's not uncommon, my wife told me it's not uncommon these days to find, you'll have a woman that's wearing a sheitel, she's covering her hair, she must believe in that, you would think, and she's wearing a skirt that's completely, completely incongruous with the hair covering. There's no shaychus, the rest of her, there's no shaychus to the shmata on her head. Not the way she talks, not the way she walks. So it's possible to wear a sheitel, to wear your hair covered only in the bate baroi, on the outside, but on the inside your hair is uncovered. A person can talk in learning, can be a lamdan. But could be spending his entire life in a lamdas to impress people, to try to outsmart a Rebbe, try to somehow make himself into something. His whole learning is bate baroi, it's all outside. Menasofa ulachutz, it's all outside. The Maral is saying, "Ki bata gevoy hin klapei haneshom." The bata gevoy of a Jew is the neshom. That's the mistorim of a Jew is the neshom. Shehi yoshevus. Listen to the words. How beautiful. Shehi yoshevus bechadrei chadorim. The neshom of a Jew lives bechadrei chadorim, and in the inner chamber of who we are. Chadrei chador. Not the way your friends see or somebody else sees, the chadrei chador. Ve'el ha'neshama, and a person who's an ish neshama, a person who's a neshamadika person, sees past the mamilim wall, sees past all of the external dressings of the world that we live in, all of the laughter of the young people standing around cheering and waving their flags because a new building is up. And those anshei neshama who live lives that are spent in a normal, healthy way, of course, in the bate baroi, outside, functioning as healthy people, also laughing, living, laughing, like everybody else. The difference is that, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, these anshei neshama, the zakenim in the Navi, these anshei neshama have a place that's called Mistarim. If you don't have such a place, oy vavoy. If you don't have Hizbardus in your lives, if you don't have a world of Mistarim of Levad, if you don't have a bate gavoy, then you don't keep company with a HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he's crying. So the neshama, listen, the neshama feels the pain of a world without nevuah, without prophecy. Seriously, between me and you, it's already the 3 weeks are winding down. Al zeh ha'yadavi libeinu, al eilu choshech v'einenu, al ha'artzi en sheshomeim, shu'alim hilchuba. All of us together, how many tears do we shed? We feel bechlal, what it means not to have an urim v'tumim. How do you spell urim v'tumim? You know what it means, Bechlal, not to have a king, not to have David HaMelech, not to have a Sanhedrin. So what if you don't have a Sanhedrin? There's a motor vehicles bureau. They take care of all my problems. Or whatever. Do we Bechlal, Anshe Haguf, Batei, in the Batei Baroi of our lives, we don't feel that there's a need for Beis HaMikdash? The machzor is fat enough, no? And Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is enough. What the morale is saying is only a person who's able to step out of the Bate Baroi and spend some time in the Bate Gevoi, in the Mistarim. That's the place of Chadri Chadarm of the Neshama. And the Neshama, and only the Neshama, recognizes the Churban. You see, the Guf needs to have a Holocaust movie on Tisha B'Av and to have some world famous speaker get up and to say some mind blowing thing and to make everybody cry with stories, some sad stories, so it could squeeze out a tear from a Jew. But somebody who lives in the Mistarim, where the Neshama is, in the Chavir Chadarim, the Neshama is missing all the things that we're going to read in Kinas. You know that book that we read on Tisha B'Av? Kinas. When they started putting out the fancy Kinas, when I was a kid, we only had these booklets, they cost 50 cents. Didn't have any English or anything, we didn't know what we were talking about. We had these booklets. Sometimes you see them around like in an old shul, right? We had these Kinas booklets from the Hebrew Publishing Company. That's what we used to read Kinas from. Or we used to make believe we were reading Kinas from. When they came out with hardcover ones with the Farshim and then the English, so the Klosnerber Rebbe said, "Oy vey, they're already making fancy Kinas. Like they're getting comfortable with the Kinas, you know." In Europe, my father said, they used to take the Kinas when they were finished and they would throw it into Seamus. I guess that's why they were so cheap. But no Jew's going to throw out an $18 art scroll, whatever, Kinas, right? They'll put it on the shelf and wait for the next issue of Hashem Yirach. It's so far from us. So we read these things in the Kinas. So they try to bring him more up to date and talk about the Inquisition and pogroms and some, you know, the Holocaust and something epic. To get something out of myself. It says in Eicha, Malka v'sareha b'goyim ein Torah. Listen to this. The king and the leaders of the people, the princes of Am Yisrael, they're taken captive by the goyim, they're captured. And then it says, ein Torah. Ein Torah. There's no real Torah, there's no real prophecy. The Kuzri writes that the matzav we're in right now is like a guf without a rosh. Without the Beis HaMikdash and Golus, we're like a body without a head. Without a head, without a heart. Atzomus yevashus, dried out bones. The Gror said, "Kol tikva seinu achshav." All they were waiting for is tchias amesim. Not that others who are dead should come back to life, but that we should be able to come back to life. So now we understand. The sad part is ending. So now we understand that the young people were looking at things from the Bate Baroi, because that's all they knew. They knew a world of a new building, a state-of-the-art Beis HaMikdash. Beautiful Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, as young people, they're looking on to see the latest Simcha, who got engaged this past half hour. And life is good. And Simchas, and the world is shining, and you hear Hashem laughing all the time. Because remember, the morale is teaching us that we experience God the way we're from where we are. So when we live in the Bate Baroi, we hear laughter, and we experience Hashem in that way of Oiz V'Chedva, which is great. But anybody who has a place in his life that's called Mistarim. And that's why I'm talking about this place that we're in right now. Right here now. Anybody who has a place that's called Mistarim knows. But Chazal say, Yom Shachar Beis HaMikdash, Eim Yom She'ein Bo Klal. That since the Beis HaMikdash is taken, the Neshama feels this. The Guf doesn't feel this. But the Neshama feels that since the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, Ein Bo Yom She'ein Bo Klal, every day there's new curses, new tzaris. Not just the tzaris that we see very obviously. The Loyerit HaTal Lebracha. The Tal, which is so subtle, so gentle, the dew. It's not filling our lives with bracha. V'nit al tal ma'peres. And we don't taste anymore the real taste of the fruit that we're eating. Something is missing. Everybody feels that something is missing. But only the Anshei Neshama, the Mistarim Jews, could put their finger on it. There's no Hashras Hashchina. There's no Nevuah. There's no Malchus Beis David. There's no Sanhedrin. It's a world of Hefkeris, of darkness, of Chil Hashem. There's a mask on Har Habayis. We could barely open up a siddur and say a few words HaKadosh Baruch Hu without our minds going someplace to some gutter somewhere. There are people walking around now. I only found out about this 2 weeks ago because some guys were joking. They put up a sign by the mikveh that you can't shoot the pokey man over here in this place. I didn't know what it was. And one of the guys, Mor Chalabu, was outside the mikveh. He said, what is this sign here about what's a pokey man? And he said that there's a thing that everybody's walking around shooting this thing. I said, what thing is everybody shooting? I don't see anything, but what's everybody shooting? And he explained to me, no, there's a virtual reality. And some guy went off a mountain, he was shooting this thing, this make-believe thing, and he was so busy looking at this, he fell off or something like that. The invisible world, that's the Mistarim that we're living in. That's an invisible world of monsters. Of little things that intelligent people are shooting at with their phones. And people spending their entire lives dragging around playing with their phones. What's wrong? And even when I'm saying this, I know some of you are going to be hurt. Why is it? I'm not being critical of technology. You're not allowed to say anything to make things. You know, about technology, you can't say bad things. It's gewaldig, it's terrific, it's changing our lives, the world is better, people are learning Torah, all that stuff. But there are many, many people here know, more by the boys than by the girls, that it's killing you. You know that it's killing you. But everybody's happy, right? You got your Galaxy 3, 4, 5. You got your shot down, I don't know, you shot down 3 minyanim of Pokemon today. What could be better than that? Life is good, no? You're not fleishig. 6 hours are finished. Somebody had a yard site. They didn't say tachnun in shul, and it's Thursday. They didn't say tachnun. Well, it's a good day. I'm in Storm Tevken Avshi. The Anshei Neshama, that's all of you. You know what I'm talking about. I could talk that language in this place. Now let's talk about the laughter. It's not the same. Let me fast. I'm sorry. I don't know. There's no Zmanim over here, right? This is Planet Hesk. It's a different zone, no? I'm sure you know that the Kozhin Tzemagid said over from the Mizritcha Magid, from his Rebbe. Then when it says in the Pasuk, in Eicha, Kol Rod Fea Hisigua Ben HaMitzorim, all those who were chasing us, who tried to get us, our enemies, Kol Rod Fea Hisigua, they caught up with us. Ben HaMitzorim, this time of the year. Ben HaMitzorim. So the Mizritcha Magid, of course, turned all of this around. And the Tzaddikim, the Talmidei Baal Shem, you know that they're very, very good at that. You know, there's a famous word from the Baditshava. The most depressing pasuk in all of Tanakh is the beginning of Kehelis, and he says, Havel Havolim Oma Kehelis, Havel Havolim Akol Havel. Right? What does it mean? Havel Havolim, how do you translate that? It means worthless, nothing, right? Like steam, air. Havel havolim, omikas havel havolim, hakol havel. It's the most depressing pasuk in Tanakh. Havel havolim hakol havel. So you know how the Bedichim used to say that pasuk? He said like this, Havel havolim hakol havel havolim. And then he pauses and says, hakol havel. You know what I just said? That's all havel. The world, it really says, Bemis is gevalim. Havel havolim, havel havolim, havel havolim. What I just said, hakol havel. Forget what I just said, it's not. Kol rod fair hisigua ben mitzar. The Mezuzah Magid learns that it means this. Kol rod feha means kol rod feika. All those who are seeking Hashem, Yudhei. If you're seeking Hashem, even though the whole year, even Yom Kippur might be hard for you, but if you're looking for Him, then this time of the year, if you're looking for Him, you could find Him. Kol rod feika. If you're looking for Hashem, hisigua ben mitzar. You'll catch up with Him. You'll get Him. Ben mitzar, why? Because he says, because when the Tsar Gol, when a king, when a big Tsar is sitting in his palace, then very, very few people can go to him. You can't get to him. But when I mean, very few people can go into that place, Bimistorim, into the place of the king, when he's in his palace. But when the Tsar, when the Melech is over, b'shvokim u'b'rechayvos, when he's walking through the marketplace on the streets of town, of the city, then it's Karav Hashem L'chol Karav L'chol Asher Yikru Be'emes. So therefore, the Mizrach Magid said that the Shechina in Golus, we feel now the Shechina away from the palace. Ketzipor Naidedes Mikina, says in Mishlei, like a bird that has wandered from its nest. That's the way the Shechina is now. It's Rosh Chodesh Menachem Av. Like a bird who is away from her nest. So Mizrach Magid taught that at this time when the king is away from the place, from his palace, when the Mistorim are, when the Bate Gavoy are somehow the Bate Baroy, when the inside is on the outside, when the Shechina is a fugitive running away, running for her life, looking for some Jews who still believe in her, who still love her, who still care about her. So then, this time of the year, called Rod Feikar, Hisigua ben Mesorim, Heviani Hamelach, no, what does it say? Chadorov. Then the king, when he's on the way, he has a little makeshift, a little place, he's not in his palace, Heviani Hamelach Chadorov. And there he finds an amazing thing. Even though we learned the first half of the talk, we learned that b'mistorim it says tifke nafshi. What it says in pasuk heviani hamelech hadorav, what does it say after that? No, nagilu v'nismachabach. In other words, there are chambers and there are inner chambers. And there's an inner chamber that's called Heviyani HaMelech HaDarav, and there it says again, Nagila V'nis Mechabach. Now how do we understand this? So listen carefully, very quickly. I mean, if anybody has to go, it's going to take like another 15 minutes. So I know you have to maybe be with kids or something. So you should do whatever you have to do. There are two Bechinas. There are two Dinim. The Gemara at the end of Tanis, not the Gemara, the Mishnah, and then the Gemara at the end of Tanis, is teaching us the meaning of the pasuk Tzenerena b'naisiyin b'melech shloimai, b'atorah she'it v'loi imoi v'yom chasunoso u'v'yom simchas liba. Tzenerena, the beauty, go, the daughters of Sion, Yerushalayim, go and see the crown that was made for Shlomo Melech by his mother, by the Shechina HaKadosh, should go see the crown. And it says two things. V'yom chasunosoi, or v'yom simchas libo. And you know what the Gemara says? V'yom chasunosoi was what? Zu? Matan Torah. V'yom simchas libo was what? Beis HaMikdash, Yibonu V'mehev Yomenu Amen. Zu binyan Beis HaMikdash. It means the following. On our level, it means this. There are Jews who are wonderful, who are getting points mamish every minute, every second of their lives, and they're going to cash them in at 120, and they're Mekai Mitzvahs. They're Matan Torah Jews. They accepted the Torah, and that means that they live with the Torah of Hashem, with the Gemara, and with the Rambam, and with the Mishnah Berurah, and they live with Halacha, the Matan Torah Yidden, and they live a Yiddishkeit that's filled with Achrayas. Davening starts at 7 o'clock, you go to daven. Slichas, you get up. It's time to build a sukkah, you build a sukkah. They're Matan Torah Jews. Sender Rene B'Nasim Batara, B'Nasim B'Melech Shlom Batara, Shitlob, B'Yom Chasna, so they're Jews who were at the Chasna, and like every good Chasna Kala, accept the Achrayas of what a wedding means. And a wedding means responsibility. And there are Jews, God bless them, who are responsible Jews and do what they're supposed to do and live according to the Shulchan Aruch. And that's the Simcha of Matan Torah Gevaldik. But that doesn't necessarily mean that just because a Jew is a responsible Matan Torah person that he accepted to keep halacha, that he's zoche for what? For Heviyani HaMelech HaDorov. That doesn't mean that he's a B'mistorim Jew, that he's Heviyani HaMelech HaDorov. Because B'yayim Simchas Liboy, the Gemara says, Zeb Binyan Beis HaMikdash. What does it mean, Zeb Binyan Beis HaMikdash? Listen carefully, there's not enough time, and even if there would be a lot of time, there's no way to explain this. There's something that's called Yichu Kutchebuchu Shchinte. The Chasna Kala, everybody sees them under the chuppah, but that's not the Chasna Kala, it's the Chasna Kala also. You're going to be good, everything's fine. HaMikdash is the Kedas, but Tabazu Kedas Moishiv Yisrael, Kedas Moishiv Yisrael, 100%. And you read the Ksuba, everything is good. Everything is halacha. Everything is right. But that's not the batei gavoi. That's not the inner batei gavoi. It's very sweet. It's very beautiful. It's very charming. But that's not the yichud. The yichud kuchu b'yichud shchinte is later on. That's not the yichud of Chasna and Kala. The yichud of Chasna and Kala is a world that only the two of them know. Nobody else knows that world of yichud kuchu b'yichud shchinte. The seichel can't be masig such a thing. When I was talking before about Nevuah, about Malchus Beis David, to see the coin coming out of the Kodesh Gadol Shemaira coin. Medaftos Ibeleb means it's something that a Jew has to live. Chasen and Kala, Chuppah, under the Chuppah, Harem HaKodesh Esli, you don't know. Between me and you, the Chasenes look pretty much the same. No? Some people try to do, you know, parachuting down into a lake or something, or to make it in a fancier hall. At the end of the day, it's a couple of poles and a couple of Edom and Harem HaKodeshes. And there's an achrayis to be a good Jew. And the two of them are going to observe halacha. But I wish that each and every one of you, that when you'll be married, that it's not just going to be a batei baroi wedding. It's not going to be just a wedding of Matan Torah, but it's going to be a wedding of Zeb Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Zeb Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Yichu Kutcha Bichu Shchintei, Tzion V'Yushalayim, Dira B'Tachtayim, the Baruch Shalom lives, the Shechina lives with Am Yisrael. It's the Yichud of Chasna Kala, Kibach HaShem B'Tzion, Evil HaMoishav Loi, Taiva of Hashem, Taiva, Evil HaMoishav Loi, Yichud Chasna Kala. You know, we never forgot that. Deep inside of us, the Neshama remembers that. There's still a part of us that's crying. We don't know why. Many times, for no reason, we feel sad. And things are looking good. And so we just feel sad. Because there's a part of us, there's a part that was seared into our consciousness, into the essence of who a Jew is, that yichud that took place with Hashem by Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Can you imagine? A Jew at the time of Beis HaMikdash that wasn't there yet. And another Jew would come back who was his first time in the Beis HaMikdash. And he comes back to his village. And this guy couldn't go. For whatever reason, he wasn't able to go to Yerushalayim. He wasn't able to go to Lila Regal. And he comes back, this guy comes back from Lila Regal. And his friend asks him, no? So what happened over there? What did you see? You saw the Beis HaMikdash? What did you see? You saw them shechting this, you saw them this, you saw that. Yeah. They pulled aside the curtain, you saw some crew. Yeah. So what else do you have to say? So at this point in the conversation about Yerushalayim, you're already talking about how, like in the old joke, boy, did I have a cheesecake in Vienna, like the Jew that went around the whole world, and he came back in his fence and said, so what did you see? Oh, I had a cheesecake in Vienna, right? What he would say is the following. He would say, what I saw, and what I experienced, I can't in a million years give over to you. Could I give over to you now to tell you how much I love my parents? To tell you what my children mean to me? To tell you what my daughter Shifi means to me? What my Talmidim mean to me? Even my Talmidim? Could I give over that in words? Could I say something about that that would capture those feelings, those emotions? There's a yichud, there's a mistorm in a person where all you could say is, I can't tell you what it is, I'm just telling you, you have to go. People come back from Umin Rosh Hashanah and says, well, so what? Did you have you had running water? You had this, you had that? Yeah. What does everybody go? Why did you go? I don't know why I went. And what did you learn over there? I don't remember anything I learned there. I don't know. Who do you see there? I saw a lot of tzaddikim and nuts. I don't know. I don't remember even what I saw. And that's not... That's a tam, a ti'ima. Because there's a world that's Yoshev Seser Elyon. There's a world of Yichud Kitchubichu Shchinte, of Yichud, of Heviani HaMelech Chadarov. That, believe me, for the last 40 years I'm teaching Torah Baruch Hashem. And I'm not able, I'm trying my whole life to give this over. I'm trying my whole life to experience, and even from the little bit to give over, to try to share with people that I love. And you're trying to do the same thing when you talk to me. Because a Jew of Yerushalayim, a Jew of that world, is not just a Matan Torah Jew. It's not just about keeping halacha, which is itself heroic. Obligations and responsibilities. There's a Yiddishkeit that fills a person with oineg. Amidushne oineg. Oineg is the same oisius as nogeya. And nogeya means that davening touches you. I can't explain what this Kabbalah Shabbos meant to me. We're helping another Jew, or hearing the news of another Jew's suffering touches me. It's nogeya. That when a person says Tehillim, he doesn't just recite Tehillim, it's B'shirei Dovid Avdecha, HaNishmoyim B'Yirecha, HaAmurim Lefneim Mizbechecha. You know what that means to be a Jew that says Tehillim, Lefneim Mizbechecha, with Dovid HaMelech together. To go out with Dovid HaMelech, B'shirei Dovid Avdecha, HaNishmoyim B'Yirecha, Hamurmul's name is Bechecha, Beirechol, its name is Bechecha. That's called Bata Gavoi. But not the Bata Gavoi of misery. It's a Bata Gavoi of Ahavis Olam Tovi Lohem. It's a Bata Gavoi of Yehuda Levi and Kinis, Sion Halis Nishali, Lishloim Asirach, Chaye Nishomas, Avir Arzech, Boch Nikshu Nafshois Chavirach Yushalayim. So the tears of joy and the tears, the laughter and the crying, it's not a contradiction. Those who are able to be in a world, who live in a world of Mistarim, or to take time off from the outside and go into the Mistarim, they're able to laugh with Hashem also. Because the same ones who cry with Hashem, they laugh with Hashem. And they laugh, and the laughter is a mixture of tears, of crying, of sadness, of joy, of happiness. But it's the tears that come in a relationship that when you love someone so much, I know that I can cry with you and you'll understand when I'm sad. And I know that I can cry with you and you'll understand when I'm happy. And I don't have to say anything about it because you understand. And the Eish Kodesh is an unbelievable thing. From the piece Etzna, if there would be time, I would tell you, we'd go over the whole thing. It's a very famous piece. I'll just read to you a sentence. V'yeshahayish, you know, the Pyatesner was in the Warsaw ghetto. He stayed there, even though he was able to leave. He stayed there. We're learning Eshkodesh in Yeshiva now. And he stayed. And these are Torahs that he gave over in the Warsaw ghetto as everybody was getting killed. And the Rebbe himself was eventually taken to be killed. V'yeshahayish ba'atzmai tom hal atzmai. Sometimes a person is wondering about himself. Haloi nishbarani. What does it mean, haloi nishbarani? I'm broken. Veich yochel ani lil mo'tar. But he's wondering, so how am I able to learn Torah? I'm such a broken. My wife died, my kids died, my husband died, we died. Everything's finished. Ubameh ani mischazek l'chadish Torah v'chassidus. So how am I supposed to, at this time of my life, come learn Torah and Chassidus and be mechadish things and learning and Chassidus? But when you believe that Hashem is crying in that hidden place, something deep is happening. We don't know why, but Hashem feels our pain and He's crying with us. And if a person learns Torah deeply, and he enters into the mistarim of Yiddishkeit, deep davening, deep learning, then through the Torah he's able to find the door that leads him into the inner chamber of the king. And he's able to learn Torah, not stam to learn, he's able to learn Torah with Hashem Yisbarach, with the Shechina. And it gives him comfort knowing that Hashem feels our pain, that the Shechina herself is crying with us. Nishbaru misamets. Even though you're broken, Hashem is also broken. But misamets, but you pull yourself together. Nichnasu al bata gevoi sheshom HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you go into the bata gevoi sheshom HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where there is the one. The one that you didn't only go under the chuppah with, but the one who you were misyachid with. And there, he's holding you and crying and laughing and laughing and crying with you. Because as long as we're with him, then even when we're crying, even when we're looking at Yerushalayim and there's a Churban, we can still laugh knowing, like Rabbi Akiva did, that he feels our pain, that he cares, that he loves each and every one of us. So let me share with you a story I told in Shul, I think last year, no, not last year, I think 2 years ago. It's a Mordechai Gemaisa. It's a famous writer, wrote in Yiddish and then later on in Lashon HaKodesh, Reb Shlomo Zalman Shragai. He came from a family of Ishbitz of Radzin. He wrote some Svarim about Ishbitz. He was a very, very brilliant and talented person. He was a survivor and he left Poland and then he went back to Poland a few times to help the Sheva Plata that was still there. So he wrote this. And there's no way that I could say this over. Really, I would read it to you the way I saw it in the Sefer, but then it wasn't in the way that it was originally said, the way it was in Yiddish. And it would take a long time to read. So I'm giving you the 5-minute tamsis of what it was. As I said, he was back in Poland a few times. So one of the times that he was leaving Poland, the second or third time that he was leaving back to go back to Eretz Yisrael, he was being sent on Shlichut to help the Jews that were still there. To help bring them to Eretz Yisrael and make all the Sidurim. So, this Reb Shlomo Zalman was in Warsaw. There was no Warsaw after the war. Have any of you been to Warsaw? Any Warsaw that you see now, with the exception of 2 or 3 buildings, is all new. It was a total chur. So, he was at the train station. And he was about to get on the train where he was going to go to Prague and from Prague, you know, eventually to get back to Eretz Yisrael. And he was getting ready to go onto the train and a Jewish woman comes running over and says to him, I don't know who you are, but you're a Yid, could you do me a favor? And he said, what is it? He said, I have an elderly father, and there was an old man standing there, and I have a sister that lives in Yerushalayim on Rehov so-and-so. And my father wants to go and to live out his life in Yerushalayim. So he's going on this train. He doesn't know anybody. Could you please watch out for him and stay with him so he has someone to be with him, to talk to? So Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Shragai said, of course. This Jew is like as old as Golis, you know? And what he went through. And they're in this compartment or something on the train. And the train is going, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman tries to make conversation with him, tries to talk to him. And he's trying to ask him questions and what and family and who and what, and the old man doesn't answer him, doesn't say a word. Looks at him a little bit but doesn't answer him. Okay, so Shlomo Zalman sees that he's not getting anywhere and we'll just stay there with him. Like an hour or two later, the old man asks him, he speaks and he says, could you help me to take down the suitcase? So he says, of course. He brings down the suitcase, and the old man also opens up the suitcase, and he has in the suitcase, he has a talis and tefillin. He has, it says, a havdalah candle. I guess he thought they don't have them in Yerushalayim. And he has a Noam Elimelech and a pair of pajamas or something like that. And a Noam Elimelech. And he takes out the Noam Elimelech. And he's learning for a little bit. Still silence. If Shlomo Zalman asks him, would you care for something to eat? Doesn't answer him. And finally he says, I'll have something to drink if you have something, water. So he gives him something to drink. Maybe it was a little schnapps also, I don't know. It says something to drink. But the old man began to speak. And he told over his story. He said he was a Belzer Chassid. And that most of his family was killed. He had the daughter in Poland that survived and one in Eretz Yisrael that was left before the war. Everybody else was killed. And he told over his whole life, his Maisa. And Reb Shlomo Zalman was listening to this heartbreaking story. And he describes what this Jew went through in concentration camp. And then again, silence. Doesn't talk. The train is going for hours and hours. And Reb Shlomo Zalman is getting nervous that he should daven already. Shachris, sunrise. He doesn't know what's going to happen later on, if there'll be a place to daven. So Reb Shlomo Zalman puts on his talis and tefillin, and he davens. And the old man is just sitting there with his head on the side of the bench. And finally, because the tram's going through the night, finally, after Shlomo Zalman davened Shacharis, another 2-3 hours go by, another few hours go by, to the point that it's starting to get already late in the day. He didn't speak again, only to ask once more for a glass of water. And now the old man said, I'm not davening. I'm not davening because of what he did to me. I'm not davening. And Shlomo Zalman didn't say anything. Whatever you want to do, you do whatever you like. Doesn't say, doesn't answer. The train is going. It's getting late. And it's almost going to be Shkia. Then the old man says again, take my suitcase down. And he opens it up and he takes out his talis and tefillin and he puts on his talis and tefillin and he davens. And Shlomo Zalman is sitting there, and of course he's wondering, like, what's the story here? But he doesn't ask anything. And this Jew, the old man, says to him the following. Be'emes, he says, al pi din, I don't have to daven. Be'emes, al pi din, I'm finished. But then he began to sob and he was saying, Obez Arachmonis of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. But how can I leave Hashem Baruch alone? How many Jews are left in the world that still wear talis and tefillin? It's Arachmonis, everybody's leaving him. Everybody's leaving Mitzrachmanis of the Rebbeinu Shel Mitzrachmanis. One has to feel the pain of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's so lonely. And Rav Shlomo Zalman said that throughout all of the years after that, every time he put on his talis and tefillin, all he could hear were the words, Shachmanis of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Shachmanis, the master of the world. Thank God you and I haven't gone through that, and no Jew should ever go through any sorrows. But it's Shachmanis of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. You're people who are compassionate. You have compassion. That's why you're here. To have fun also, to laugh and to cry. You're people of compassion. You're people of Simchas Libay, of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. You're people of Mistarim. You're people from the inside, not from the outside. Tzachmanus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're all that He has left in the world. We have to take that seriously. And if we do, then whoever Chazal promised, that whoever was crying with Hashem, Kol Misabel Yerushalayim, all those who cried with Hashem and sat with Him in His loneliness, Zoichim Roi V'Simchasa, are already now able to feel and some of that joy and to hear Hashem laugh and to ultimately come to that time when we're going to look out the window and it's going to be Yerushalayim. And it will only be that way. It'll never, ever, ever be again the other way. It'll only be that way. V'sechazen ne'ineinu b'shuv chalitzin b'rachim l'gula Hashem v'amitis m'hem yamin v'amen v'amen.